Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Football cards. It's what we do all day, every day, baby. Collecting, investing. He's Andy. I'm Carter. I'm fired up because I got a lot of Odell cards to sell, baby. I can't wait to see where he goes next. Depending on where you're watching this, he could be with the Packers by now. He could be with the Seahawks by now. But Andy, we want to start today's question with a very basic question. And notice a word that we use there. Basic. Right? We're going to talk about base cards. You know you love that dad joke. You know you love the dad joke.
Man. Hey, man. I do. I can get down with the dad jokes for sure. But I know you talking about base cards, and there's a sentiment that's been going around the hobby this year, and that is that base cards are dead. You know, and for a lot of people that are more on the budget flipping side of things, base cards have been a staple in their investment portfolio for the last year or two.
Right. And, you know, we're not the first podcast to talk about this, right? And the funny thing is when you use the word dead, it's like a very definitive thing, right? I don't think base cards will ever just be dead. But the thing is, Andy, and this is something that you've preached on your channel, is as the hobby has matured, people that grew up in the card collecting community that got back into the hobby, all they knew were base cards, right? And they didn't know that in the modern day that you have all these parallels and numbers, and that existed before, but it's just far more exotic now, to, for lack of a better word. It's very interesting though. What have you seen in your research as far as base cards versus shinier parallel cards in general?
Well, sure. I would say first and foremost, it really depends on which year of cards you're investing in. Because when you go back in time, like we talked about, that was what we knew growing up in the 90s. That was really it. I mean, there's base cards, there's very few parallels and inserts. And then you fast forward to 2000s and you look at a guy like Adrian Peterson or Aaron Rodgers, you know, from the mid 2000s, or even Matt Stafford 2009. And there still wasn't a lot of parallels, and their base card is you see a lot of transactions on that card because there's just not a ton of those listings of the base card. And you still see the base chrome card, you know, having more a higher value to it, a higher investment value to it. And I think that's kind of the same today. When I got in, I didn't realize the extent of how many different sets were being released, because when you go to a Walmart or Target, you're only presented with one or two sets at a time. But every week, every other week, you know, it seemed like Panini was releasing a new set. And in each of those new sets that's released in retail would be a base card. And I think some base cards from some sets are like they're never going to get above, you know, worth a dollar or two. Even with Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or some of these elite quarterbacks.
And that's where we're going to get into, and trust me, we're going to get to the new releases. We all want to talk Mosaic and all that stuff. But this is where that word base comes into the equation, right? When you think base, you don't get excited, right? You think basic, right? And it's weird because before this episode, we were talking about a word, gold, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you hear the word gold, you think, wow, it's shiny. It's great. We all know gold normally means good. And you saw it this weekend with a Kyler Murray card that went for $68,000, his gold vinyl rookie, and wasn't even a one of one. It was a five of five. And Andy, I've seen this, whether it be Kaboom inserts or whatever, that word gold is starting to carry some serious weight.
Yeah, gold has become very popular. But what is also typically in 99% of scenarios tied to gold is a serial number, and the serial number is going to be less than 10. So you have that, you know, nice gold shiny element to the front of it, but it's almost always carried with a serial number of less than 25, sometimes 10. Sometimes in this Kyler Murray case, it was out of 5. And when you have a card that rare that's in an appealing, you know, finish to it, that's when the values get way out of control, especially when they're then graded to a high grade like this Kyler Murray was to a PSA 10. So it was all the high-end, super high-end collectors and investors in the hobby were after it because only a population of one in PSA database for this card. But and it just it goes back to the set. Like this was a prism as well. You know, a gold out of like Absolute is not probably going to be as valuable as the Kaboom from Absolute. You know, right. When you look at different sets, they each have like their super iconic card that you want to target that's going to have the highest value associated with it because it's going to be the most desired within the hobby. But then you look at a base card from Absolute. I mean, they load that product up. Last year, you could get a fat pack of Absolute and you'll pull 20 rookies out of it, base rookies. And with that many printed, they're just never going to really jump out of that tier of being worth a dollar or two. You know, you're always going to find those, even though they got a rookie card logo, they're always going to be in that dollar or two bin. And unless maybe 20, 30 years down the road, they become scarce at some point for some reason, you know, then maybe, but you got to have that scarcity element to the card for it to really take a significant jump in resale value.
And the thing about gold cards is they're always going to have demand, right? Because look, if you're a professional athlete, you're going to have at least 10 diehard fans out there. Like it's just always true. Like I grew up a fan of a basketball player named Ronnie Brewer, right? And he was just a role player and he was from Arkansas. And I was like, God, I don't even like basketball cards all that much, but it would be kind of cool to get a Ronnie Brewer gold card or insert player names card. And that's the thing about a gold card. Number one, you have the word gold attached to it. Number two, you have that scarcity aspect. You compare that with the word base, where it's not numbered and it's not shiny. And there's always going to be hundreds of base cards out there. It especially with more modern cards, Andy, it does matter. Now, are base cards dead? No, we're not saying that they're dead. Collect what you want to collect, like what you want to like, and you still can make good flips on base cards. I had an offer to get 4 Joe Burrow base prism rookies for $35 each before the season, kicking myself for not doing it, right? It would have been an easy slam dunk flip or whatever. But so there is room. It's just, it's not going to be as high a room. I guarantee you the person I got that Patrick Mahomes gold vinyl, they more than likely, Andy, they had to pay probably a year or so ago. I would guess they probably had to pay $2,000 or $3,000 for that, which, you know, that's just me throwing a number out there. But it does give you a higher ceiling, per se, when you get a gold or a super rare card.
Yeah, absolutely. Because those high-end collectors, when they see that big performance, they've clearly got disposable cash at their, you know, in their pocket. And man, they want to get those super rare cards like the golds, the case hit inserts, like the kabooms, the downtown stuff like that. And they're willing to reach for these cards in a lot of cases too, because you go on there looking for a Kyler Murray gold vinyl out of five, chances are this is only going to be the only one that may be the only one that pops up for several years. If you think about it, these super high end collectors are putting them in their collection. And, you know, going back to base, yeah, we see a ton of transactions on them. We see a ton of transactions on base Donruss. We see a ton of transactions on base Prism, but those are very iconic sets. Those are the main sets that kind of are the gold standard for the hobby. And it all depends on the price point you get in at. If you can get in on a base Prism of a quarterback, running back, it doesn't matter what the position is, but if you can get in on them at the low end of that tier, so like a quarterback, you can get in for, you know, $10 or $20, or even these super elite guys like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, even though they had a significant elevated print run on their base Prism cards, if you can get in for $20-$30, man, that's a good investment, because base Prism, that's still the gold standard in the hobby.
Absolutely. So understand that so much of what you do oftentimes comes down to your price point, but I am a believer, and you just know me personally, Andy, from when we talk, I am a believer in letting people know that numbered cards and just rarer cards are just better. They just are. And I know you feel that way as well. There's some people out there that still prefer the base card, right? That's what they grew up on, right? You know, the famous Mickey Mantle card isn't a numbered card per se. So, you know, a lot of people just grew up with not worrying about serial number, not worried about autos or patches or anything like that. I am the opposite. I do, you know, I'm building my Tyrann Mathieu set right now. I'm super collecting Tyrann Mathieu. And dude, when I see a serial number 32, you know, the jersey number match, that's something else that you should look out for. If you're buying, if you can get a good price on a jersey number match, that's always going to be something that excites collectors. And Andy, there's other things you can look out for to help you determine if a card really is rare or not.
Yeah. And I think this is perfect point to talk about non-rookie cards, because, you know, look at Tyrann Mathieu, for example. He's a 2013 rookie. But if you were to find, Carter, a 2020 serial number Tyrann Mathieu, maybe it's got gold on it, maybe it's serial numbered out of 32, would you be willing to pay an elevated amount for that card just because of those factors, because of the rareness, yeah, because of the aesthetics of it and the little details around the serial number, right?
I would. So, for instance, I closed a big deal on a Tyrann one of one, right, from his rookie year. Most excited I've ever gotten for a card. But to sweeten the deal, I was able to negotiate and get a 1/25 tie-dye Tyrann Mathieu in his Chiefs uniform, right? Because, you know, he played for the Cardinals, the Texans, and the Chiefs. So, you know, there's always going to be collectors out there like me that aren't just, I mean, I'm mostly interested in rookie cards, but people want cards of other players in different jersey numbers as well. So, you know, here's a good example of it. And we talked about this recently, that guy Roth cards, right? He made the most ridiculous trade I think I've ever seen on one of these card vlogs. And he traded a Jordan Fleer. He traded a Russell Wilson rookie ticket auto. He traded all of this for a Tom Brady one of one auto, but in his Tampa Bay uniform from 2020. And I was like, and even you, Andy, were like, really? He traded all of that to get that card? It made no sense. I was like, what is he doing? Like, that's giving up way too much. And he gave $2,000 cash, I believe, on top of it. And guess what? He flipped that Tom Brady, because it was a one of one, because it was an auto, he flipped it. I don't know how much he flipped it, but you would have to think he flipped it for at least a decent amount on top of whatever the card trade-in was. And that's the thing. A Tom Brady super collector out there would want that one-of-one card in his Tampa Bay uniform. So also keep in mind that even though it's not a huge thing, the rookie cards will always run the hobby, but players in new uniform cards are also something that you would have to take into the equation. So the more rare you card you have, the more leverage you have in card negotiations when you sell it, the more interested buyers. And look, the NFL, there's millions of fans out there that are fans of different players. There's always going to be a super Matt Stafford collector out there. There's all, even if he's not the most, you know, he's not a Tom Brady level player. So always understand that. I mean, it's tough. It's really hard to get one of ones. It's really hard to get gold cards. And look, you got to really scour. You can't just look at eBay. You can't just look at ComC. You got to really put in the work to find those cards. And, you know, some more often than not, Andy, even if you have to overpay just a little in the long term, it's just worth it because you know you have one of the rarest cards, which if you have a base card, it doesn't, I don't know, I don't feel the same special way when I have a base card.
That's it, man. Collectors and investors, they want to feel like they've got something special. When you're really dedicated to a player, whoever it is that you look up to in your sport, you want to have a card that is special. And so if you've got that and you can kind of control that little corner of the hobby, you can almost name your price. And we've seen this happen over and over again, and that's where the best ROIs come from. So I would set your filters or you know, check your filters to make sure they're not just set at rookie cards. And this is something that I'm trying to get better at because I've been so focused on rookie cards, but now I'm understanding that it's about special, it's about scarcity, and it's about, you know, putting myself in other people's shoes and thinking, you know, the type of players and the different players that there's going to be super collectors for and why, and then looking at their whole gambit of cards across their, you know, the all the sets of all the years available. And that really opens things up. And then you can find some cards going in auction that are super rare. They're going undervalued. Well, that's an immediate flip opportunity because you get it in auction at super low. You get it, you put that sucker in a one touch and list it in a buy it now format. And then, you know, you're looking at making some nice profit.
Yeah. And it's a balancing act, right? But, you know, obviously you look at rarity and all that stuff. And, you know, we've been talking about these two players every week now, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And it's very interesting. You know, they had the big Sunday night battle. But, you know, Josh Allen played the worst game of his career this past weekend against the Jaguars where they lost. I don't know if he was intimidated by the other Josh Allen. I don't know what exactly even happened. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes, even though he won, he played very ugly. And then on the other end, you know, Jordan Love didn't really look all that great. He was probably discouraged. His mom, I don't know if you saw this, Andy, was sitting on the very top row. Are you kidding me? They sat for his NFL starting debut. They give Miss Love tickets on the very top row. But it's interesting. A few of the quarterbacks in the hobby. Was there anything that really jumped out at you as far as the QBs are concerned this past weekend?
Well, yeah, like you said, Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills had the worst game of the year for a QB this year, this past Sunday, and his base prism, we're talking about base cards, his base prism in a raw format is selling at $200 right now, $200 in buy it now format auctions that were closing Sunday, probably hopefully before that that game ended. But then you look at Lamar Jackson and his base prism is still selling around $70. And I'm like, this guy is so athletically gifted. You know, Baltimore Ravens are right there for first place in AFC North. I don't get it. I think his cards are undervalued. And
oh man.
And Patrick Mahomes, this is the lowest I've seen Patrick Mahomes rookie card since almost getting into the hobby. Like when I got in April of 2020, they were at $25, $30 a piece for his base Donruss raw format. And then like quickly jumped up. I remember within a month or two. So last summer, like June, July, they were at $125, $150. Well, that's what they're at right now. That's what they're at right now, Carter.
Man, I'll never understand the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback that's already got an MVP, right? He's got a playoff win. I know he lost to Josh Allen in the playoffs, but it wasn't because of Josh Allen playing extraordinary. So, yeah, I mean, Josh Allen is obviously an elite talent. It's probably the most athletic quarterback in the league, not named Lamar Jackson. So it's very interesting, and I go back to it, man. I would never – just to touch on base cards again. Man, there's so much you can't see by looking at an eBay photo, right? Unless you are an expert, and some people are real experts at judging an eBay photo and seeing if there's blemishes on the card. I just – if we're talking raw cards, raw base cards, I would never spend an extraordinary amount of money – on a base card unless I am at a show and I can see it myself. Now, this touches on another thing, and this is going to be, and this wasn't part of our prep, but this is a very important hobby tip of the day, Andy. I have to reach out to you because you're better at looking at cards. You're better at looking at the whites on the corners, the edges. I'm not that great at it. I'm admittedly not that great at it. It takes a while to understand what a good raw card looks like. If you're just now getting into it, man, I would stay away from buying a Patrick Mahomes raw card for $700, $800, whatever you can get it at now, because, man, it's a little bit different than when you buy a slab where the grade is a grade, right, Andy?
Very true. And so that's a perfect tip that you were kind of alluding to, is if you are going to buy a raw card like this, do your best to find one in a graded format. Even if it's a nine, that's fine, because the difference between nines and tens are very minute surface details. And if you can compare the picture of the raw card to the picture of the PSA 9 and match them up, Now you know you kind of what you're looking for. You know, if you can find the same card in a raw format in a PSA 9, you know, or PSA 10, even better, and compare them with each other, now all of a sudden you can see what you're looking, what you want to look for in that raw card. And also understand that a lot of modern cards, they have a pretty good gem rate. So, you know, it's really important to look at the corners, the edges, the centering, and the surface. But most of the cards today, like modern cards, you're not going to find like trimming issues to where, you know, people were filing on one of the sides to make it centered like they did with a lot of older vintage cards. So that's not a huge concern. The big concern today in modern cards is like print defects, surface issues. Panini's notorious for printing like little dimples in the surface of cards around the print lines where they have etching and stuff like that. And so there's big differences in the way they're manufactured. They're not all manufactured the same. Their quality control is not that great. Do not count on Panini to manufacture you a PSA 10 card.
Yeah, I agree with all of it. And this would also be one more thing on the base thing that would look. So most people watching this aren't like just brand new. You're kind of in it. And you kind of know like the big price difference between a PSA 9 and a PSA 10. But let's just say you don't know anything about cards and you walked up to someone and you handed them with blocking the grade out, and you hand them the card and you say, hey, tell me which one is the 9 and tell me which one is the 10. Heck, you could be an expert and you not know the difference. You could get it wrong. I saw Sports Card Anonymous do it. I've just seen it just in general. So that's something else about a base card is, I mean, if you want such, you know, long-term value and you want to get it graded, there is so much more power in the hands of the grader and other factors you can't control. Whereas, you know, if you have a one of one, or, you know, like the Kyler Murray, because it was a PSA 10, it did sell for more. But the real reason why that card sold for so much, I would argue, is because of the scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's just another factor that you can control, right? And there's very few things you can control in this hobby. And when you get a numbered card and when you get a rare card, it does give you, once again, a little bit more leverage in negotiations. It does give you a little bit more of a reassurance that you actually do have something truly special. So, you know, that's just one more thing. Now, Andy, the hobby tip of the day, the real one that we talked about beforehand, is looking at release dates, right? It's very simple. You can go to Cardboard Connection, Steel City Collectibles. There are so many different ways. All you got to do is Google sports card release dates, and there are some very interesting product release dates.
Yes, yes, I just found. So this is something we've been checking out every week, and today I've just noticed now we've got release dates for XR and Mosaic. And so XR is scheduled to be released on November 24th. I believe that's Thanksgiving, right, Carter?
Yeah, or the day before, either one.
Day before. So Thanksgiving XR, which is, you know, it's not a bad set. I definitely think there's some collectors and that are, you know, high on XR. It's not bad, especially the rare stuff. There's a lot of different RPA. You see some logo patch stuff and XR. So some very interesting stuff. The hobby boxes are on pre-sale right now for $399.95. That's not terrible. And then we've also got a release date for Mosaic. So this is big because we've been questioning whether or not Mosaic's coming back this year. It's coming back. It's expected to be released on December 22nd.
Ooh.
In retail stores everywhere.
Right before Christmas. Are you kidding me? And if you go to our YouTube page, Football Cards Collecting and Investing, make sure you subscribe. You can actually see the images of some of these Mosaic releases. And, you know, it looks okay. This is the first I've seen them. I can't wait to see what Prism and all that's going to look like. So, yeah, man. So make sure you check all that out, man. Look at that straight flyer. Mosaic gold, man. You gotta freaking love it. So, you know, Mosaic obviously is the bigger product of these two. So yeah, that's interesting. And we would, Andy, I think you would guess that Mosaic is for sure going to release before, you know, some of the bigger brands, which obviously or the more bigger sets, which will be Prism, Optic, and Select. So Mosaic is the first one. It's kind of an interesting design, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at these base cards right here. It's a very they're gone with the geometrical theme again, and all the base cards are color match, which, you know, a lot of people like Mosaic for that reason. I like 2020 Mosaic. It just got, you know, it fell down in the, you know, hierarchy of set collectability because of the number of sets that were released after it. But this year's design is interesting. That's a pentagon as a pen or a hexagon.
Oh, come on, Andy. You're asking an LSU journalism grad with a 2.7 GPA what shapes are. Really, Andy?
It's six sides, so that's a pentagon.
No, a pentagon is five sides. Five sides is a pentagon. Six is a hexagon, right? Hexagon.
There we go. I know eight's an octagon.
Yeah, because UFC, yeah, octagon. But no, I got it. So a pentagon is five sides, okay? So the Washington, D.C. building. Then hexagon is six, and I think seven is heptagon. Right. This is the hard hitting card analysis that you get here on the Questcast, but still the designs are really, really cool. So the big takeaway is make sure you check release dates because that does affect prices. Right. It really does because, you know, the Trevor Lawrence Jaguar rookie cards that are out now, such as Certified, got a shout out Heroes for Sale. He believes Certified in the long term. We'll touch on this a little bit longer on an episode. Heroes for Sale, a really good hobby channel. Good friend of mine, Adam, makes an interesting point about Certified in that a lot of their cards are numbered. So he thinks maybe down the road that those cards will be worth a little bit more than what they are now. But still, you know, Certified's already out. But here's the thing. If you are holding Certified rookies, once Mosaic comes out, the Trey Lance Certified card that you might have, the Zach Wilson Certified card you might have, whoever you have, it's just not going to be worth this much. Right, Andy?
Especially if it's base. Because the demand is going to shift to the high-end demand is going to shift to the new product. That's just how it works. You know, we want the new hot thing, especially whenever it's what everybody knows as the gold standard in the hobbies. Whenever that prism is finally released and the optic is finally released and then the select is finally released. And National Treasures, they typically, National Treasures is like the cream of the crop, you know, in terms of RPAs. So those are some huge sets that still have not yet been announced when they're going to be released. And when those do, I kind of like to buy these other sets. Like I'll be having my eyes on, you know, Certified number, because all their parallels and all their RPAs are all serial numbered. There's several ones of ones in that set, and I will be looking at those while everybody else is trying to get the new hot thing. That's kind of my strategy.
That's mine too, right? So kind of be a set after the fact, right? Don't rush unless, once again, this has always been my rule. If I can find a box or a cello pack, whatever you want to call it, blaster hanger, if I could get it at retail, I'm going to buy it, right? It's always a good thing. But I'm not going to buy it for the resale price. It just doesn't make sense. They'll always go down. Unless, of course, it's Prism, because it's just such a gold set that has really big-time long-term value as far as wax is concerned. So I would always work a set behind unless you could just get it retail right off the line, which, once again, has been increasingly rare. It's really, really hard to do. So always keep that in mind when it comes to new releases, because the price is always going to be the highest when the cards are released. So that's obviously very important. Now, Andy, as we wrap up this episode, before we get in our play of the day, you've been killing it on the YouTube channel, posting out some really good content. Is there anything else that you've seen in the hobby over the past week or so that has really stood out to you?
Oh man, we've talked about some really, really good topics today, really important topics, you know, and I'm excited to hear the play. I know Odell Beckham Jr. is getting ready to go to somebody, like you talked about at the beginning of the show, whether it's the Green Bay Packers or the Seattle Seahawks, or the Kansas City Chiefs, who knows? I don't know, man. But he's getting ready to go somewhere within the next day or two. So I would think this is like the end of the line. If you want to try and buy low on Odell Beckham to flip, like an immediate flip, you may still be able to do that in some auctions that are closing right now, some listings, buy it now listings, stuff like that. Because we know we're going to see a demand spike. I think it's almost guaranteed we'll see a demand spike when he is signed by one of those big name teams.
Play of the day. So my play of the day is I'm going to wait a week or so to see what actually happens with Odell prices. And I know this because I have a lot of Odells. I mean, I have a fresh face rookie. I have the silver prism. I just have a lot of Odell, and I bought all of it in a really cheap lot about a year ago. So I got all the probably 10 Prism Odells for about $60, right? And I might sell the silver prism for that price before this. So that would obviously be a good move, right? And I just knew this because I knew how popular Odell is and how many fans he has out there. That doesn't mean he's necessarily a good wide receiver. We don't know that at this point. So my play of the day sometimes comes down to, it doesn't matter how good a player might actually be, it's what his hype could potentially be. So even though last week we recorded the emergency episode on your main channel, and I said I'm a little skeptical of Michael Thomas's future, I got to shout out JJ Bama, right? Who said, heck yeah, when Michael Thomas goes to a new team, the hype is going to be ridiculous. And I agree. In the episode, I kind of was like, no, I don't know if I want to do Michael Thomas or whatever. I actually agree with that. And if the Odell prices do what they can do, there's no reason to think that Michael Thomas can't do the same. And you have to think this through, Andy, from a just a football fan. The likelihood that Michael Thomas returns to the Saints next year is going to be probably low. I think they'll work something out to where he can go to a new team. I don't know if the relationship is going to be repaired. I don't know if playing with Jameis Winston is something that's really going to excite them. And one thing that excites fans are trades. So let's just say Michael Thomas this offseason goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you kidding me? Do you know what his prices would do? It would go to the moon. It really would. So that will be my play of the day. I would wait to see if Odell prices do actually just go crazy. And then I would find that next wide receiver I think that could move. And that could be Michael Thomas. That could be Allen Robinson. That could be anyone, really. So that would be my play of the day for today.
I like it, man. I like it. I'm gonna go back even further, even more, an older wide receiver than that. I was actually got a couple guys in mind. This is something that I also think about when a lot of people are distracted and their eyes are drawn to these players that are breaking out. Like Nick Chubb just had a big week, and James Conner, and a couple other quarterbacks, and like Justin Fields is the best he's ever looked last night on Monday Night Football against the Steelers, and I'm going to the guys that have been out the last couple weeks with injuries, but that are on big teams with big quarterbacks that are definitely going to be in the playoffs. And the first guy that jumps out at me is DeAndre Hopkins from the Arizona Cardinals, 2013 rookie. DeAndre Hopkins, incredible knack for catching the ball in the end zone and, I mean, making huge plays. I love that guy's story and everything about him, and he's a 2013 rookie, just like Tyrann Mathieu. That was the first year that Select was manufactured. And I love that 2013 Select product. I see a closed auction here that was just a few weeks ago for DeAndre Hopkins. It's a Select Gold numbered out of 10 that closed for $650. And I almost think like that person probably made a good investment. I know it sounds expensive, but that card is probably going to go up in value over the course of the next couple of years. Our hobby continues to grow. So there, as new people get in, they quickly discover, you know, this fondness for these super rare cards. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, I love everything about his collectability, his investment factor. And I'm perfectly fine with investing in base 2013 selects, 2013 Select Hot Rookies. I love that insert from 2013 as well, and I think they're all undervalued for him. And auctions ending this week, last week, have been going a little bit undervalued from what they were at previously.
I like it. You know I'm a Hopkins guy. Big time, man. There's so many we brought his name up a few times on this channel. There's so many cool Hopkins and Julio Jones cards that I see, like on Planet Fatness channel. They look cool. And both of those guys are going to probably be in the Hall of Fame as well. So that's something else that's very interesting about those two players in particular. Shout out to 402 Collectibles, Andy. He was one of the patrons that really, you know, inspired our base, you know, card episode. And shout out to him, and shout out to all the patrons. And tell people how they can sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah, man. Patreon.com/footballcards is the best way to show your support for this show. We're a fully independent show, so we really appreciate all your support over there and helping us grow this. And every week we're putting out bonus content, the Auction Sniper article every Friday. I'm getting ready to do the November's giveaway. And so that's like $40 to $50 in cards right there that I give away to one of the lucky patrons. And it's still a small group right now. So when you sign up for the premier tier, you get seven entries into that giveaway. The field level tier gets 20 entries into that giveaway. And so that's just, you know, one of the aspects. Plus, we've got the Discord, which, I mean, we're making money off of the information that we're sharing between each other in the Discord. And we have so many different channels, and it's really active. So you can check it out all there.
Yeah. And That's all you got to do, man. So make sure you check out Fantasy Football Card Quest YouTube channel and like, subscribe. Shout out to Jared, one of my Power Hour LSU folks that have come over and starting to get into football cards. So that's obviously really cool, man. And until next week, man, as we always say, baby, peace it up. Let's go.
Peace. Hey, you're going to text me, right, if you find some retail product?
No, I'm kidding. You know, I'm gonna, if I find, you know, what's funny is I went to the store recently and I found one box of Optic NBA and I regret buying this. I'm serious. And I know we've already one more little nugget here at the end that we should include about the retail stuff is retail football boxes are going to be up. They just are. The prices have already gone up. I remember going to the store and I just did a price check on a WNBA box. And I like the WNBA Prism products. I think they really do look cool. But I did a price scan on it. And for one WNBA blaster, after tax and all of that, it came out to like $37 for one blaster of WNBA, and that is absurd. So make sure you keep an eye out on that. But of course, Andy, I'm going to text you and send you a retail box, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. I don't know a single WNBA player.
Peace.